That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I don't need no wine and dine. I want something high class. Like spending my nights at home romancing the podcast. Take a deeper dive into these movies that are trash. Trash. Meet once at a bookstore and then we'll smash. Roll call. Mikey.
Thank you for tuning in to Romancing the Pod. You had us at hello. I'm Paige Wesley.
I'm Mikey Randolph.
And I'm Todd Schlosser. And this week, Paige made us watch
365
Days
This Day.
This title's very confusing.
The Confessions of a Marriage Counselor.
Paige, I just have one question.
Uh-huh.
Why?
I don't even know why you feel like you need to ask that question. It's obvious.
This is barely a movie.
Let's time travel back to last year when we watched 365. And I'll remind you why we watched 365 last year.
The sex. Yes, I'm aware.
No. Because you told us about the story and I was like, there's no way that movie exists. And yet, in fact, it does. So when I watched the first one, I was like, holy shit, there's more than one of these. And I binged the second one. And I live tweeted the entire thing in the Facebook group.
I do remember that, although I didn't read the tweets because I don't want it spoiled for me.
I didn't go back and read them.
Yeah. Spoil what? Mikey, the story that takes place over the 8 minutes in this movie, people aren't fucking.
This movie is wild for so many reasons, not the least of which being that it is 2 hours long for no good goddamn reason.
There's not even sex in this one.
1 hour and 45 minutes of this movie, nothing happens. And then in 15 minutes of this movie, four movies happen. I remembered watching this and being so stunned by how fucking strange it was. But then also, because they definitely try to like, oh, we're going to like turn the sex up a notch. But then they just make the sex scenes last full songs, which is a mistake. It's way too long.
It's a mistake.
And to the point where you're watching the people in it get tired. And you're just like, oh no, this was not a realism that I needed in this film. But then also, there were crazy things that happened in this movie. Like, the first time I watched it, I remembered that they said hi to the lawn robot, George. And I, at the time, was like, did I imagine that? Did I have some sort of stroke in the middle of this film?
No.
And imagine that there was a lawn robot? And so I deliberately watched for it this time. Yes, there was a lawn robot. I took notes on it again.
Yes, they do say hi to it.
Yes, they do say hi to it. Yes, his name is George. Third, I'm here for Olga and Domenico's relationship. That's the true love story of this movie, and I will not hear anything about it.
Is there any love story in this movie?
Well, okay. I would say Olga and Domenico come the closest because they just kind of met and liked each other and fell in love.
I think that's a lot of headcanon
there. We just don't really see it. I mean, that's what we see on the screen.
That's fair. Do you want to finish your three?
Yeah.
Yeah, three. The last 15 minutes contain the craziest plot twists in any movie, let alone a romance movie. And here's the thing. They telegraph them a mile away
and you're
still not prepared for how fucking weird it's going to be. and I love that.
I low-key love this movie because it's like a sex montage mashup produced by the people who brought you Too Hot to Handle. Like,
yes.
It is shot like a promo of Too Hot to Handle.
It is. And I'll tell you why it feels that way. It's because there are no like hard transitions between scenes.
Nope.
It does a mini fucking slow motion music video between every scene in this movie.
And they took a guy who could barely act one part and made him do two.
And I do love that you're talking about Massimo, right? So like,
yeah.
I do love that Massimo is the same old Massimo that we know and love from the first one.
We know and love.
His twin brother or whatever that was born just 10 minutes after that changed his whole life. That guy acts like, I don't know, if Massimo was half Gollum. And it's insane to me.
He's wearing Armani like Massimo.
Yes.
But he does act completely unhinged, like he snorted a bunch of meth.
Yeah, no, it definitely, yes. He definitely has the vibe of like crack Massimo. But then we also have to remember that Massimo is a cocaine dealer. So, like if anyone was going to be crack Massimo, it's regular Massimo.
Yeah. That makes sense. All I know is that this woman dreams about nachos way more than I do when I'm high.
That's impossible. No one dreams about nachos more than me. I also, Nacho's a crazy character. And here's the best part of this, because I like finished watching this movie and I was like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah.
And then they're like, by the way, the third one comes out in a couple days. And so I then binged the third one.
You've
so I
already
know
seen
what
the third
happens.
One.
I've
oh,
already
shit.
Seen the third one.
Oh, I can't. Okay. I'm so excited.
I've already seen the third one. And there's a fourth one coming out, allegedly.
And let me guess, you were on set for that one, I'm assuming?
No.
Okay.
No, but what I will say about the third one that this movie does also, it's just, it's a thing of the series, is that like, this movie and the movie before it sets up life or death stakes, cliffhangers for the ends of the movies. And then the next movie starts up and they're just like, anyway, wasn't that rough? Glad we got through it. And then they just continue with the movie. And the next movie does it too.
Because the first movie ended with a car wreck, right? Her almost dying.
A car wreck in the tunnel. And they reference that multiple times in this movie, because whatever
they do, they talk about it,
but it starts with their wedding.
This movie starts with their wedding. The car crash that you're referring to happened after she bought her wedding dress and they went into some tunnel, police cameras, whatever, fade to black. That was the end of the movie.
Yeah. So like something happened. We don't know what, but
yeah,
this movie doesn't address it because it just starts at their wedding.
Yeah. Like, if you think this movie is going to tell you what happened, the only thing they tell you is that whatever attack that happened injured her in such a way so that she lost the baby.
Right.
And that's all we know.
Well, and at the end of this movie, she lost the ability to have a baby.
Well,
that is my guess because of where she was shot.
But it said that she had already lost the ability to have a baby in the accident.
No.
She had just lost the baby.
I don't remember if they cover that in the next movie. I do remember that the next movie, the beginning of it, tries to do a fake out like you're at her funeral and then it's his brother's funeral. And you're like, why would they have a funeral?
I know, right? And also, like, why are so many pictures of Laura up at Massimo's brother's funeral?
Massimo's brother's funeral? Oh. Adriano Torricelli.
Is that his name? Adriano?
That's his name.
They named their first son Massimo.
Massimo.
And then Adriano. Okay. I mean, clearly whoever wrote this movie wrote that character about 20 minutes before they sent the final draft of this movie to their editor.
Remember that this is based on a book.
No, this no. can't be based on any written word.
It's based on a series of books that I have not read. I meant to read and then forgot they existed.
I hated the first movie.
Same.
And yet, this movie's so much worse than the first movie.
Yeah.
But in so many different ways. Like, that's what they're so inventive in how they make bad films.
Yeah. Like, there's not even a lot of sex in this one. It's just really a lot of, like, Too Hot to Handle commercials.
I would say there's a lot of sex in the first act. Like, the first act of this is mostly sex and long sex scenes and explicit sex scenes. Like, and I know that was the case in the last one because I just rewatched the last one in preparation for this one.
In preparation, she
In preparation.
Says.
Well, because I had not watched the last one in between. Where, like, it's not something I return to frequently.
No, just about 10, 15 minutes at a time. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Just that boat scene. Just them on the boat. And so I went back and watched it because I was like, I don't really remember how they got here or whatever. And had forgotten about the tunnel. Hilarious. That one, even though it does have a ton of sex scenes, they are actually less, except for the boat. Less explicit than this movie. This movie, they were like, oh no, this is a porn for the first act.
I mean, it is. And some of them, like, they're sexy, guys. Like, they're fucking. Like, it's good old times in the Massimo house.
But then the second and third act are like, we're making The Gray Man. But in four different languages, badly translated into English, because they get all the articles wrong, which is my favorite part of these movies. Oh. They'll be like, what for where you come to? And you're like, what the fuck did you just say?
I love that they don't have like a coordinator on set who is like fluent in English.
I think they have someone who says they're fluent in English, but is not a native English speaker. So what they're saying is like, not necessarily like it's not right, but it's not blatantly wrong. It's just not how a native speaker would say it. Right.
Yeah.
So it's it makes people sound kind of crazy to the point where you're like, why'd they even make this in English? I don't know.
Or just why'd they even make this?
Great question.
I mean,
we know why. And that's because people doing their laundry at home get horny sometimes. And like, this is the perfect movie for that.
That's exactly right.
All I stupid heard for the last stupid year was nacho, nacho, nacho. Like, you get with it.
Yeah, you gotta wait until you get nacho.
Nacho ruins the movie. Because like,
what are you talking about?
What am I talking about?
What say you from?
I say you from is Nacho. The whole every scene with Nacho is stupid and pointless. It is. Like, could be taken out of the film.
100%. I think the movie is like wanting me to be like, should she be with Massimo or Nacho? And I'm like, that's dumb. She shouldn't be with any of them. She's terrible. Why would anyone want to be with Laura?
Well, I mean, first, yes, Laura in this movie has a wild opinion of how Massimo should be behaving in the relationship, especially considering that he kidnapped her, if you had forgotten from the first film.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I feel like bad expectations were set early in this relationship.
Real early?
Yeah.
But they're definitely setting up a will they, won't they? And I will, hey, I think Nacho, fine as hell. So for me, I was like, who will she choose?
I guess that is fair, because like in this movie, I was like, why wouldn't she just like stay faithful to her husband, especially like...
who's about as attractive as Nacho. Yeah.
Yeah. She stays mostly, she kisses him once.
Okay. This does continue into the next movie.
But also like, she's also the dumbest person to ever exist.
Laura does not have street smarts, I would say.
Or just smarts.
I thought you were a gardener.
I thought you were a gardener, even though I know we have a lawn robot named George.
Okay, so a lawn robot can't do everything a gardener can do, Paige. That's ridiculous.
I know. I don't know why the lawn robot's in this movie, and I have a headcanon that it's put there so that you're like, but why would they need a gardener when they have George?
Paige, you are putting too much faith in the lawn robot.
I know.
You're putting more faith in the lawn robot than the screenwriter of this movie did in ChatGPT to generate this script. It is terrible. There's nothing redeemable about this movie outside of the sex scenes.
And yet, how entertaining is it?
I loved it, Paige. Thank you. Loved it.
No.
I'll never, but listen.
Yeah, no, you don't need to watch it again. It's a one and done. And you're just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, you never watch this again. But you just sit back and enjoy that someone spent, I would assume, millions of euros or dollars or whatever to put this shit on screen. And we got to sit through it.
We got to sit through it.
Mikey is like, and on desk mad.
Did you remember the most important part of 365 movies, which is that they let Michele Marrone, who plays Massimo, sing half the soundtrack, mostly the songs for the sex scenes.
Did he do it for this one too?
Absolutely. And he does it for the next one. Yes. He's also, I believe, at one point was dating Khloe Kardashian. I don't know if they're still together.
I honestly assumed that it was George the Lawnmower
the lawn robot,
because it sounds like a robot singing with how much auto-tune is on Massimo's voice.
It's a lot. It's a lot. And it's the one, there's one that I couldn't stop laughing at it. I don't even remember the lyrics. They were so dumb, but it was just like, I'm the devil in the devil, yes, Satan thing. And you're just like, what?
Paige, so I watched this movie twice because we were going to do this episode recording a different day and we had to reschedule.
Well, hey, I'll admit some fault. I stayed up too late watching the first 365 and then the second 365 until 4 a.m. and was like, I'll definitely just sleep 2.5 hours and wake up to record. 5.5 hours later, I woke up and was like, oh shit. Oh no.
Anyway, we're recording it now, but because I watched it twice,
yes,
over the span of a few days, the first time
you're
I watched
welcome.
It, I took notes, you know, I did that whole thing.
Yeah, sure.
The time I watched it today, I went through it and pulled out how much time is spent in a montage / sex scene.
Yes, yes. Total or individual scenes?
Okay, so I do have it for individual scene, but I also have it total. I just wanted to do the total. But
thank you.
Out of this hour and 49 minute movie, 35 minutes and 15 seconds are sex / montages.
And that's shopping montages too, because this movie has the requisite at least two. First movie, I don't know if you remember from the first film. The first film has, no shit, 5 shopping montages.
I know.
And
Paige,
I was like, fuck.
I think to your and Mikey's point, this movie has less shopping.
Yeah, less shopping.
Less sex.
Less sex.
More plot. And
more
it's
plot.
Worse.
It doesn't improve
it. And it's
it worse
than the original.
What are you talking about? It has less plot.
No, it's more plot. There is...
No, Paige, there's 2 minutes of plot at the end. That's it.
Mikey, I watched the first one recently. This has more plot.
At least the first one has the will she ever love him plot.
Which they abandon halfway through the movie because remember he sends her back to Poland and then like her ex-boyfriend tries to get back with her and she's like, I don't need 365 days. I'll marry you. And then the rest of the movie is like wedding dress shopping montage to the tunnel thing.
This will not surprise you, Paige. Do not remember that.
Yeah.
Of course not. That's why I watched the first one. I was like, none of us are going to remember what happened.
This one felt like bullshit for 20 minutes. His twin cheats on her. She runs away with Nacho. Nacho and her walk on a beach for conservatively 74 minutes. And then they go to that warehouse. And then there's all the plot in the warehouse. And then it ends.
And that's
There's weirdness in there. And you forgot the tour de force love story between Olga and Domenico.
It's 30-second cutaway clips. We don't even see her boobs.
Yeah, it's not a love story. It's just we see them fucking occasionally.
Well, it started in the first movie, which I know you don't remember.
I do not.
They meet in the first movie because he's the one tasked with like taking her shopping and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And eventually Massimo like brings Olga to live with her so that she has someone to like hang out with and be friends with. And so that's how Olga and Domenico meet. And then there's like some flirtation in the first movie. And then in this movie, they start hooking up. And in the next movie, they get married. So like, it's their whole thing.
Stop spoiling it.
I love that for Olga and Dom.
You're gonna forget. You're gonna forget by the time. Yeah. It's not like you're gonna be like, oh, Paige spoiled this for me. I could tell you, no, I'm not good. There's one thing I won't spoil for you in the next movie because I, while watching it, just went, what the fuck? What the fuck? And then like typed it out when I was live tweeting that one. And people were like, yeah, they went there. And I was like, holy shit.
Wait, is this where he imprints on her daughter?
No.
Sorry. Boy, just spoil it.
There's a dream sequence where Laura's trying to decide who she should have sex, like who she should be with forever. Because she gets like an ultimatum.
If Nacho and Massimo don't in that dream.
They did. They do in that dream sequence.
Yes!
Oh my God.
I cannot believe I guessed that.
And I was like, what the fuck? And then I, of course, hit Google, and it turns out he and Nacho, like the actors, are best friends and hang out all the time. And I'm like, mm-hmm. And they're just like, we thought it was fun. So we went along with it. I was like, what?
Well, do you guys want to get into this movie that I'm assuming is produced by Lorne Michaels because it feels like an SNL sketch making fun of 50 Shades of Grey?
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's do it.
We open on their wedding. Remember that accent from the last movie? We're not going to talk about it at all.
We don't open on their wedding, Paige. That is skipping at least two sex scenes.
She opens in her wedding dress.
In her wedding dress. Yes. We open in her wedding dress, him in his tuxedo. They fuck on a table behind, I'm guessing backstage at the wedding, because it's this movie.
It looked like it was like a little area that overlooked the ocean or whatever, but they were staging there before they go out to get married.
Yeah. And Olga walks in on them and is just like, it's bad luck to see the bride before the wedding. Now, here's the thing. I know some people, especially if you have a gap between your wedding and your reception, some people do the wedding dress thing and that's real fun. This is way more than that. This is like, that dress will never be the same. And she's about to get married in it.
Yeah.
It's wild.
She's got little Massimos running down her leg and she's about to get married.
She's got a Massimo mess running down her leg.
I was like, she just did her makeup. And Olga's like mad.
Oh yeah, Olga's pissed. I did think it was super classy to like diffuse the situation. Massimo was like, shut up. Maybe next time you can join us. Let's get married, hun. Like, he's the worst. First person in the world.
Massimo is actually the Massimo. He's the god of toxic masculinity.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. I think he's actually going to be in the new God of War.
As the god of toxic masculinity?
Yes.
Yeah. It makes sense.
But also, I'm shocked that Olga hasn't joined them yet. Like, honestly, knowing Massimo.
How could you do Dom like that? Come on.
I know. I think that's the only reason is out of respect for Domenico. Anyway.
And the other reason could be because they're trash. They are trash people.
Anyway, Olga's like, how dare you? I just spent so long doing your makeup. Fuck you. And she's like, respect Polish tradition. I was like, this is kind of an everybody tradition. Like, this isn't just Polish.
Yeah, not seeing the wedding dress on the day of the wedding or whatever.
Yeah. But they relax to have a post-sex pre-wedding smoke where she's just like, yeah, I didn't tell him I lost that baby in the tunnel. You remember the tunnel? And she's like, I think about the tunnel every day. It's so crazy what happened in that tunnel. I know. We'll never live it down. Anyway, you ready to get married? We'll never talk about it again.
And we'll never talk about it again. And because we as the viewer haven't seen it, I still have no fucking idea what happened
no
in that
idea.
Tunnel.
Not a clue.
You could tell me, I'm going to cut this. You could tell me that tunnel was like a drive-through abortion clinic, and that makes as much sense to me in the scene as they were attacked.
It does. And you should keep that in because one of the next things she says is, it was the hardest decision of my life. And I was like, wait, did she lose the baby? Did she?
Exactly.
I don't know. No explanation. I think she lost the baby because that's what they say.
Well, that's the way she phrases it.
Yeah, somehow Massimo's brother knows about it at the end. I don't know how or why, but like, anyway.
I assume that it was the hardest decision I had to make was her talking about not telling Massimo.
I think
that
so,
she lost
the
kid because whoever did whatever to them in the tunnel would stand to be hurt by Massimo, and that would start like a war. I'm assuming it was Nacho's people who did it, or Nacho's dad's people, probably.
It's Massimo's brother, kind of in league with Nacho's dad.
Yeah.
That's what we will kind of find out. Yeah. Anyway, they get married. We get a montage of the wedding that's way too long.
Yeah, we're now 30 minutes in the film, pretty much.
Yeah, honestly.
Actually, the pre-wedding montage, like that, it's like pre-wedding... is when it starts because the music starts and it goes through the wedding and then it goes to them fucking, I guess. Like, all of that montage is 8 minutes and 10 seconds. An 8 minute montage.
8 minute montage.
Yeah, it's a lot.
The only time I've ever encountered something that egregiously crazy long was in The Room, where the first sex scene is 4 minutes long and you're just like, what the fuck is going on? Yeah.
We got to do that movie.
But this is that bad. We got to do The Room. I fucking love The Room.
I've actually never seen it.
I know. And it is technically a romance, question mark?
It is today, baby. All right.
Like, oh, question mark.
The montage is just music, too. It doesn't even, it has the mouth I do instead of say it, which I think is kind of a wrong.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah. Why didn't we see the actual wedding? Why did we get a montage?
So crazy. There's so much beach.
I know.
There's so much beach in this film that they couldn't take two minutes for them to do the vows.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. We cut to their honeymoon after.
Yes.
Where Massimo is like, you have 1 hour, then I'll do whatever I want with you. And she's like, no, I'll do whatever I want with you. Because it's like flipping the tables. And she ties him to the chair with her stockings. Very sexy. And then this movie is basically a product placement.
Oh, yeah. This is the hottest scene in the movie, I think.
Oh, Mikey,
I would agree
it?
With you. But here's what I will say. This movie, starting with this scene and then the other one at Christmas, because by the way, this is a Christmas movie.
It is.
Is basically a product placement for those vibrators.
Oh.
It, like, because they're using all the same brand and like their entire range of vibrator. And I was just, I think they're Lelou's. I'm not 100%. There's another brand that kind of looks like that too. But they...
Oh, yeah, Lululemon?
No. Don't put lemons anywhere near my vagina. But they're featured so prominently, and we get full shots of them, that you're like, clearly someone had an ad deal or whatever.
Clearly someone funded this movie.
Oh, yeah, exactly. She ties him to the chair with her stockings and then masturbates to completion in front of him, which... I do agree. Hey,
super
it's a
hot.
Departure.
Yeah.
Super hot. Great. Good job.
Yeah, she had her legs resting on his knees, which were
I know.
Everything was
yeah.
It was very hot. Very
yeah.
hot.
Yeah, it was great.
My favorite part of this scene, though, is seeing him struggle to like move his arms because he's tied down, right?
Ripping the knife.
And then he eventually rips his arms up like he's the fucking Hulk. And if you hear,
I love it so much.
I didn't hear it on the first watch, but on the rewatch of this,
yes,
you hear two separate lion roars.
Yes.
As he rips his arms up, there's one, and then as he picks her up and throws her down on the bed, there's the
second one.
It is perfection.
When I heard that, because I watched this with headphones in, so that's why I heard it, I laughed so hard.
I know.
It's the funniest shit, because I know they're trying to be like, yes, he's an animal, and you're just like, what? Pick different animal noises. This'd be fun. Anyway, we cut to Olga in the bathtub as Domenico comes in with a rose to give to her, and she's mad that he spent more time with his mafia friends than with her, and he's like, well... I'm sorry, I spent
more time at work than with you. Somebody has to provide for this relationship, Olga.
This is honestly, Todd, it's a central conflict of this film.
There's a conflict in this film.
Laura has the same thing because she's mad that Massimo has to do mafia work.
But they never work. They never shows them do one thing of work besides go to one dinner, two dinners.
Yeah, and what I really want is to see Massimo just, like, walk in and put, like, a suitcase on a desk and open it, and it's just full of cocaine. Like, that kind of shit.
Like your General Scarfacery, if you will.
General Scarfacery.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, like, get in shootouts, get hurt, you know, like, real mafia shit.
Yeah, talk about his little friends. You know how it works.
Go to Italian restaurants over spaghetti and be like, I'll steal your son from your grave. And you're like, what the fuck did he just say? Like, that kind of shit. You come to me on the day of my wife's masturbation. Like, that's this movie. I will say, I agree with you. I do think this is the hottest sex scene in this one, for sure.
There were two separate lion roars.
That's how we give this two lion roars out of four.
I honestly am here for that, for a sex scene rating scale for us. I am not even joking. We can make it 1 out of 4.
Out of 5. Okay, one out of 5.
One out of four is better. Makes it more objective, they say.
Okay, so 1 out of 4 lion roars. How many lion roars do you give this one?
The movie or the scene?
This scene.
The scene gets a good 3 lion roars.
Definitely. Oh, yeah, okay. It's the highest one in the film for me. So it's a 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd give it a 3, maybe even a 3.5. Like, and that little half is just like a rare.
I honestly say this scene sets you up for disappointment.
It does.
Like, oh, they're going to get crazy with it.
Yeah.
And I don't feel really like they ever come close to this in the other scenes.
No, I mean, the closest they come is the Christmas one, and they really just kind of go for quantity over quality in the sex scenes moving forward. This one I thought was quality the whole way. Yeah. You're just like, hell yeah.
Is that, you talking about the doggy style scene later on?
Yeah.
I feel like that was almost too realistic in length, where like I was like, oh, I'm just watching people have sex. But it wasn't like it was too
yeah,
normal.
Mikey,
looking.
We were just watching people have
no,
sex.
No, I mean, it was too realistic.
No, Mikey, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I was like,
well, and in some ways, that's the problem with a lot of these, where they just, A, they let it go too long. And in letting it go too long, you see them like flip positions multiple times and like, you move over here, move your legs or whatever. And I was like, this isn't the part of sex that's sexy.
Yeah, if I'm going to watch sex, I'm going to need to see some P and D. You know what I'm saying?
Penis and dick?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, basically.
That's what my brain did. I was like, I think he means P and V, but, you know, whatever floats your boat, sir.
And V. But like, it's like Massimo fake humping a girl's butt for like 20 minutes. And you're like, well,
she couldn't sit right for a week.
Oh God. I'm watching that. I was like,
probably
poor Laura.
She's
like, she's exhausted. Yeah. Oh God. Anyway, we cut to the rest of their honeymoon, where she changes her hair for no reason, which is fun. But
she does say, how do I look like?
Yeah, how do I look like?
And I thought that shit was hilarious.
Like the first time, baby girl. Yeah, that's what he says.
I think he says that in this movie.
He does, yeah. Anyway, they go golfing, and she has him, like, put the golf ball into her snatch.
So if we're
going to
give
so
this
crazy.
A lion rating, this is 6 out of 4 for me. It's a hole in one, baby. Come on.
I'm going to give this one lion roar because I'm allergic to grass.
This shit is, should not even be rated. Like, this is not sex. It's silly as shit, and I'm here for it.
0 out of 4 lion roars for me.
Now, I will say, this very next one, we cut to them having some pretty intense jacuzzi sex, and
true.
I'd give that at least 2 lion roars.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a fan of jacuzzis, personally.
Same.
Not going to use your jacuzzi.
Yeah, no, I didn't invite you to use my jacuzzi. I don't have one.
I know, but if you ever get one, you're like, yeah, we got a hot tub in the back. I'll be like, nah, I'm good, thanks.
Yeah, that's our hot tub.
Oh, you mean like if a friend invites you to come over to get in their hot tub, you'd be like, no, thanks.
Let's say hypothetically you had a friend who had a pool in their backyard.
I do have a friend that has a pool in their backyard. His name's Jeff.
Maybe you don't want to use Jeff's pool because stuff's happened in that pool, you know what I'm saying?
Mikey, if you're not fucking in your redneck Riviera pool, why did you even get one?
Yeah, no, Paige, I was literally thinking about, you know, last week when Mikey was like, you should come over and hang out in the pool.
Wait, those are 2 separate things, first off.
Well, no, I know, but that doesn't mean you haven't sexed someone in that pool already this season.
And if you haven't, you should. It's your responsibility as a pool and land owner.
It's happened.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, did you say it's happened?
Yes, what? He did. No, because of course. That's the whole reason to have one.
I will say that I get a level of cocky in that redneck pool that I have not been before. Like,
it sounds like somebody... she got a level of cocky in that pool too, baby.
No, I just think it's Mikey naked and drunk in his own backyard.
I sit back there and drink beer, and I've had numerous women come over. Some I'm dating, some I'm not. And they're like, so this is what you do? And I'm like, yeah. If you don't like it, you can get the fuck out.
Ash, cast, or grass, no one sits in the pool for free.
I thought grass was still legal in your state.
It's very illegal, yeah.
Assholes.
I know.
I'm not a huge fan of water sex, though, much at all.
You got to play your cards carefully, and there's definitely more advantageous positions and jacuzzi types.
That makes sense.
I feel like it's way better for foreplay.
Yes.
And then you get out and have sex.
That is the correct way to fuck in a jacuzzi. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which it looks like is basically what they're doing in this movie. So 2.5 lion roars. Anyway, we cut back to their house where Domenico and Olga are playing with food. And by that, I mean, she's covering him in whipped cream and grapes.
Yeah.
Then they're like getting it they are making a mess. And then who should come home but Massimo and Laura, who are basically like, oh, shit, now I got to clean all this shit up. Like, that's their reaction. And it's great.
Well, I mean, Laura walks in on them having sex later on. And she's like, hey, I'll be back in 30 minutes. Be ready. Like, it's like not even a big deal of walking on your friend. Yeah, it's like happened so much.
Yeah. Ugh. My favorite is Massimo looks at them and says, what is this, a cake or something? And you're just like, what? No. Do you not know what cake is, Massimo?
I don't know. Maybe in Sicily, their cakes are made up of whipped cream and grapes. I have no idea what it's like
over there. Whipped cream and butts. I don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea. I do love that, like, they start to... Wait, is this where they start to, like, bicker at each other a little bit? Massimo and Laura?
A little bit, because this is where he's like, I'll be in the office.
Oh, wait, is this the scene where he's like, I think you guys need to go somewhere else? Yeah. Yeah. So I love this scene because Massimo and Laura start like bickering about shit that like Massimo's just like a nice guy. Like in this scene, he is like, hey, I have to work, but I planned this nice day for you and your best friend. And she's just like,
right.
What am I, a piece of furniture you can order about?
I'm not just a piece of furniture that you can move around. Yeah.
I mean, Massimo may be like overly controlling. I get that. He kidnapped her at the beginning of their relationship. Like, I get he's not a good guy, but he planned like a whole day for his wife.
I feel like if you completely forget the first movie, right? So like if she was not kidnapped, which you had, if you completely forget the first movie, Massimo is a saint in this movie, which is wild.
Yes. And Laura is like an unstable person. Like, she is insane. Like, in this scene, she reacts in a bonkers way.
Yeah. She was that way in the last movie.
She was. And I know this because I watched them back to back, where I'm just not a potato that you can take with you wherever you please is one of the things she says in the first movie.
That's in the first. I remember that because I was like, shit, do I need to start taking a potato with me?
Do we just take potatoes?
Like, I don't know. Is that something they carry in Europe? I don't.
It's their currency.
I don't pack a pocket spud. Like, I realized I should, but...
I do. You know what I'm saying?
Mikey packs too, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, when he's swimming, you need to.
Well, it's more buoyant, yeah.
Well, when I meet someone I like, I just yam it on in there.
Just, that is a real Massimo kind of move.
That was a twice-baked joke.
Finally, a starch joke Mikey can make. Sorry.
Yeah, not like bread. That scalloped me.
Oh, God. Anyway, in this movie, Laura seems to not understand that, like, everything that she enjoys is because Massimo has to work.
Yeah.
And she doesn't. And eventually he's like, oh, I think she's bored, so I'll buy her a fashion company for her to work. And then she, like, spoiler, a lot of the third movie is her at the fashion company, which is kind of fun.
Oh, is it because she's a terrible owner in this movie? Because she just, like, goes once, raids their closet, and then never goes back.
Yeah, in the next movie, she actually, like, runs the business, and it gets kind of notable. It's like a whole thing. But it's constantly her being like, what do you mean you have to work? And it's like, yeah, like, what do you think pays for this? Like, what do you...
You know what a job is, right? Like,
right? Wait, what?
She's an insane person this entire movie.
Yeah, oh, it's wild. So they go out for the day, and then they come home, and she's like, I've got an idea. I'll do something nice for him because he set up this day for us. And then we get the next sex scene of her in black lace panties just crawling across the table in front of that fireplace. And this one goes on forever. Do you have the time on this one, Todd? Because this one felt like it went on for a year.
So, okay, this is the sex scene that comes after the golf sex scene, but comes before the Christmas montage sex scene.
Correct.
Right?
Yes, okay. You're correct.
So yeah, I just wrote general sex scene for this one. This one is 2 minutes and 17 seconds of sex montage.
It's the full length of the song. And this is
it's
crazy,
very boring
devil song or whatever.
Yeah.
And this is also one that, like, it got me the first time I watched it. It made me laugh the second time. They're having sex on the table.
Yeah.
And he takes her off the table onto, like, a floor poof. And he's, like, got her in his lap on the floor poof. And he's, like, thrusting up. And it looks both uncomfortable and fake and not sexy.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious to me. I give this one... I think maybe 1.5 lion roars.
I just give it a 1 lion roar.
Yeah, it's 1 for me.
Also, this is where I started taking note of everyone in any sexual scenario licks the other person's face. There's a lot of face licking. And I'm like, I have had my fair share of sex in life, and I have not licked that many faces.
God knows I have.
Okay, so I probably have to address this publicly because for...
Like at Chewy's?
Are
like
you a face licker, Todd?
Like for a long period of time when I was streaming on Twitch, I would lick people's faces. It was mainly my girlfriend Crystal at the time.
Why?
And I would just post photos of me licking her face on Twitter.
Did it get a lot of likes?
People dug it.
We got to bring back face licking.
No,
guys,
don't,
I've been
don't.
Wrong this whole time.
Don't do it.
Anyway, we cut to the next morning where he has to get up and go to work. And she's just like, I bet you could stay and like go in late. And he's like, no, I have things I need to do. Which also, she's like, it would just be a few more minutes. No way. Like, not with those two. Like,
no.
The compacted version we're getting is 8 minutes. Like, no. But he goes off to work. She goes to find Olga and Domenico, who, like, live in the same compound as them, basically, and walks in on them fucking and is like, you have 30 minutes to finish, yes. And then we're heading out.
And she was like, oh, he ain't gonna need 30 minutes.
He ain't gonna need 30 minutes. Sorry, 30 seconds. And he's like, hey. And she's just like, hurry up. So... We cut to her and Olga run down the lawn. This is where they say hi to George the Lawn Robot, who never appears again in any of the sequels or anything.
That is a shame. This is the scene where it's like the 9th car we've seen.
Yes.
And they've all been different cars. I was like, are they just stealing from Jay Leno? Like they just have so many like high-end cars in this movie.
High-end cars are like the Honda Civic of Italy.
Is that the case?
Honda Civic.
Maybe amongst the ultra rich, like this guy supposedly is, right?
So here's what I think is going on. Because when you rent cars from movies, and I guess this might be different overseas, but I know in LA, you can rent just a cool car for a day. Like if you want to take pictures with it and act like it's your car or whatever.
You think those are rented cars?
Yes, I think they're all rented cars. And they just, every day they get a new one. And they're just like, of course, he's rich. He'd have a new one. So whatever you have available that's super fancy, just bring that one. And I think that's what's
I love
happening.
That. That makes sense to me. I love that for budgetary reasons. And also, like, it is explainable. He's yeah. rich as shit. I love it.
He's rich as shit. It's not like in 50 Shades or Twilight, which, of course, if you remember, 50 Shades is based on Twilight. This is fan fiction of 50 Shades, right? So it's like three levels removed.
Yeah. This is what someone got when they typed in, please write a script based on Twilight into ChatGPT.
Yeah. It's like if Twilight played telephone in a different language.
Yes.
So they go out, they go to a restaurant, but Massimo comes to find them because she didn't tell him where she was going.
Yes, very helpful.
And she's like, well, you can't control me. And he's like, I want to protect you. And now this is the thing. I had an issue with this in 50 Shades. Do I think it's right for him to be that controlling? No. Do I think she's in real danger? Clearly, yes.
Yes.
So like,
I also have a question to ask both of you, because this has been popping up in my personal life with friends
sure.
who are couples.
Oh, okay.
Were they... like find your iPhone or whatever is the tracking is on.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Jake and I don't track each other's phones, but in part because Jake doesn't have an iPhone, but also we just tell each other where we're going most yeah. of the time.
Yes. And then it's like, I get it for like some safety reasons, but it feels like one partner or the other usually
is
obsessively
monitoring them.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then if they go someplace they don't know or someplace too long, they call them. And
that's strange.
It seems borderline emotionally abusive a lot.
Yeah. That's
in my opinion.
That is a lot. Like Natalie and I do share each other's location. Like, and my stepdad and I share each other's location. Like, it just doesn't matter really. Because we communicate where we are. Like, I know where she is. But
right.
Yeah.
You know, here's the thing, and this is just a personal me thing. There are some days where if I have a day off or whatever, I need a couple hours for my ADHD to just go walk about and
yeah.
be like, hey,
man, that's so true.
I'm going to get in the car and I'm just going to like figure out. I don't know. I'm going to end up a bunch of different places. It's not because I don't like you. It's not that I don't want you to go. I'm just going to let my brain do what it does. And then I'll come back and it'll be fine. And if you want to know where I am, just ask. I will tell you.
Yeah.
Which is what happened when I had a great thrifting day the other day. And this is something that Jake knows about me as a person, and I usually will just say, hey, I'm gonna drive around a bit and just decompress, and he'll be like, cool, Let me know when you're coming back and I'll start dinner. And that's kind of, you know, whatever. But no, we don't track each other's location.
Yeah.
That seems excessive.
Yeah. And it's like, you're taking too long, or what are you doing there? Or, you know, you've taken too long at Target, that kind of thing. And it's like,
yeah, that's too much.
I mean, I have been known to get distracted in a grocery store. And yes. So Jake will be like, hey, just checking on you. I still need that sour cream for dinner. Are you coming back anytime soon? Like that, but not like, where the hell are you? Just like, hello.
Hey, we were going to have dinner yesterday. Are you still at the grocery store?
Sorry.
It just seems like, it seems like it's a power that can be easily abused.
It definitely could be. Yeah, agree. But that's, I mean, any relationship can be unhealthy.
Yeah.
Known like 3 people now, and they're like, yeah, if it's work hours and I'm not at work and they see it on the phone, they'll call me to see where I am.
What? Like you couldn't go out to lunch or something or run an errand or be like, 100%. Oh, there's this cool store that I've seen. I'm going to go check it out. Yeah, that wouldn't work in a relationship with me. I have too many adventures.
I don't understand why you would share your location with someone you don't like live with.
Yeah.
Like who isn't like your emergency contact person?
No, but these are like, they're like partners.
I get what you're saying, and I'm familiar with the concept. It's just not one that I've adopted because I feel it's like it's excessive.
No. Yeah. Like they're like married and living together, Ty, but they're constantly monitoring.
Now,
being monitored.
What I have seen is people who will share locations so that they'll be like, oh, so-and-so's leaving work. I'm going to text them to stop at the grocery store. So, like, I have seen people use it in a more practical, healthy way. But I have also seen people be like, what's he doing there? And I'm like, why are you looking? Do you not trust them? Like, they're at work, right? Let them be at work.
Yeah, let them work. Have you ever shared your location with somebody?
Me?
Yeah.
I've texted it to people to be like, I'm on my way or whatever. Like, here's my ETA or whatever.
I don't even give girls my address.
Oh, yeah, good point. But you don't even, like, share it with your mother?
No.
Interesting. Okay.
And if I die,
you die.
It was my time and there was nothing we could do about it.
And I want them to find me, like, decomposed a little bit. Like, not just, like, fresh off the boat. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The boat of life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I trust that when Jake says, I'm going to the shop, he's going to the shop. He has gone to the shop and come home every time. So, you know, there's a pattern of trust
there. He has
there.
A good track record of doing that.
Yeah, it seems like he leaves, tables happen, and then he comes home, and then he takes pictures on Facebook of the shop cat. So, like, I'm pretty sure he's there.
Man, he's so good at faking you out.
It'd be a real elaborate scheme.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Is this the part? This is not the part where the twin comes.
No, this is where she meets Nacho, because she comes home and she's all mad that he interrupted her, you know, lunch with her friend. And I think it's because what we don't know as the viewer, because the movie is not telling us a lot of information.
Right.
What we don't know is that there is a war between the families going on ever since the thing happened with the tunnel. And they haven't told us a lot about the tunnel. They don't really tell us about what's going on until the very end of the movie. And so I think Massimo is worried that they are trying to hurt her because they have tried once before. And so he doesn't want to have her go somewhere and him not know so that he can't send protection. I understand that desire. I think it's not communicated well.
It's not communicated well, but yeah.
Yeah, he brings her home and she's all just like, he ruined my day. Oh, who's that hot gardener with the embellished jeans that are definitely going to get ruined doing gardening work?
I mean, he was not a gardener. It's just Nacho walked over and walked into their backyard where she was.
Yeah, unless he's harvesting lady boners. Yeah, he's not a gardener.
Yes, nice to meet you. My name is Nacho Gardener.
Nacho Gardener? short for Ignacio.
Ignacio Garnier.
Heir to the Gardenier fortune.
You guys get it because he's not your gardener.
Oh yes. Yeah, no,
your gardener.
That makes sense. Yeah, I just didn't get it the first time around.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah. Anyway, we cut to them having Christmas dinner, and he's like flown her parents in for Christmas, and this is where he buys her the fashion company, which I think is a very thoughtful gift. I think is actually really kind of nice.
You hear that, guys? That's what you should be buying your wife for Christmas.
I'm just saying, he's a ridiculous rich asshole who owns multiple companies, and he's like, she seems to like clothes. We did 5 shopping montages in the last movie. Maybe she'd like to design and produce her own clothing.
He was probably like, I have to buy her a clothing company, or I'm gonna go broke. So much money on clothing.
Yes.
I have to be able to get her clothes at cost, or I'm fucked.
It's okay. He got the company for 20% off on Black Friday.
I always view this as him paying attention to what he thinks her interests are, and the movie hasn't told us that she has any other interests because she is a two-dimensional character, but at least this is him like, hey, this is something that you might want to do while I'm working, you know, work that you used to work. Before we got together, you were like a high-powered business lady in the first movie. I don't know if you remember.
She doesn't. She hit her head in that tunnel and has no memory of what it's like to work, or that money's a thing, or like whatever.
Anyway, Dominika and Olga get engaged.
Heck yeah, they do. And she is so surprised when he pulls the ring out that she legit faints into his arms.
Love it.
It is.
I'm so happy for
them. Laugh out loud funny, guys.
I'm going to buy them a toaster off their registry. Their relationship, 4 lion roars.
None of their sex scenes live up to that, but yes.
No, yeah, no. But I just believe in them as a couple. So we cut to, he's like, I think Santa Claus has forgotten me, baby girl. And she's just like, here's a map.
I'm pretty sure that's actual dialogue from the movie.
Like, yeah, it's pretty
spot
on. She recreates the crazy blowjob scene from the first movie where she's in the same outfit. She's got the ponytail, all of it.
Yeah.
You guys don't remember the first movie. Okay, let me remind you.
There was a blowjob, I remember.
Let me jog your memory. He like chained her up and then she watched him get blown by some other girl.
Yes.
So she's dressed as the other girl and there's chains and the whole line of vibrators by that one company.
Is this where the map led? I didn't understand how the map.
Yes, this is where the map led.
They're like, I made a map to the bedroom. And you're like, very good, honey.
It's not their bedroom. It's a different room in the house.
Christmas sex montage, right?
Yes. How long is this, Todd?
This one was 3 minutes and 38 seconds, Paige. I just looked it up.
Feels longer.
Is this the doggy style one where he...
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where you're like, he's going to get a cramp.
It's also the one where he puts her knees by her ears. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's a move I like, use.
That is she's a flexible. Move. Yeah.
But I rip the ears off first.
Mikey just snacks on them like pork rinds.
Like dogs with pig ears. Anyway, so yeah, they have sex long enough for you to be like, you're gonna pull something. You guys are both in your 30s.
This sex scene is about as long as I can have sex.
Yeah, honestly.
3 minutes. Let me remind you, that is 3 minutes and 38 seconds, ladies.
Here's what I will tell you. For active thrusting, that's longer than you think. Because at a certain point, you're like, God damn. Like, I'm just saying that, like, sex is an all-encompassing thing where there's other stuff going on and the thrusting is not the main thing for it. And so to thrust for that long is like a lot.
And the worst part is if you start to cramp or whatever and you've already torn their ears off, they don't hear what you're talking
they
about.
They can't hear you when you're like, I need to stop. Oh, God. Anyway, they have like weird pillow talk after this where she's like, I know you're number 2 retired after the accident in the tunnel that we didn't talk about. And he's like, yeah, but like Domenico is kind of the new guy or whatever. And she's like, thank you for arranging the arrival of my parents. It was very kind of you, which is a crazy thing to say.
It is.
And then she's like, do you ever feel sad because you don't have any family because his dad is dead? He's a fucking orphan. And this is where he says.
But the way she says it is more or less like, hey, do you ever get sad because you have no one in the world? Like, it's insane.
No one. And he's like, I have a brother, but we're estranged, and he doesn't want to talk about it.
Right.
But this, of course, lays the foundation for us to immediately figure out what's going to happen the rest of the movie.
When he dropped this literally like 50 minutes into the movie, I was like, oh, that's what this is. There's a twin brother. They're going to like whatever. It's going to be a thing. Yeah,
it's going to be a whole thing. We cut to she goes to the fashion company to check it out the next day. Shopping montage.
Yes,
because they have to go to a party that night.
That one's a minute and 40 seconds, but no sex. It's all clothes, baby.
All clothes. Anyway, we cut to the ball.
The work ball.
The work ball. Yeah, I was like, I don't think the mafia has a ton of just secret balls. I don't think
Here's what I think that was. Some politician was hosting a fundraiser event or whatever, and he's like that ingrained into the society there that he has to go and like make appearances and make donations and shit like that.
It'd be nice if they made that clear. That'd be an interesting story point.
Some people could just read between the lines, I guess, Paige, because it was super fucking clear to me. No, I mean, it's such an insane movie. Why would you ever try and track anything? Like,
I don't know. I'm in favor of any time we get to see Massimo in a suit.
I mean, it is the whole movie. Is just like them having sex, rich people shit, them having sex, rich people shit, them having sex, rich people. It's just like that on a loop for 2 hours.
And then twin brother in the middle.
And then the screenwriter's like, fuck, I gotta like shoehorn in a plot.
Yep.
And he montages that. Anyway, we'll get there at the end. He montages that too.
Anyway, at this ball, she's just like, I'm bored of this ball. I want to go home.
I know. And this is the first time I've ever seen Laura gag at a ball.
Anyway.
And he's like, I have a business meeting.
Well, he's like, I'm in the middle of the conversation. Can I just finish talking to this person? Then we can go home. Like a child. Like because she's acting like a child. Yes. Wild.
He is so kind to her in this moment. This is a man who kidnapped her for a year last movie because she was hot. Like, he's done some growth.
Well, technically, this is still within that year, by the way.
Oh, it spoiler. Is! You're right!
Yeah, spoiler, the end of movie 3 is the end of the year.
What?
Look, guys, there are downsides to the Stockholm Syndrome. There are complete downsides to this.
Yeah.
Yes. Is she hot? Will she have freaky sex? Yes. Does she just absolutely go the other way? We're like, now I feel like you've kidnapped me.
I do that love that she like doubled movie. Down on the kidnapping to where Massimo was like, holy shit, what have I done to myself?
Right. Well, it is also weirdly out of character because, again, she's like an independent lady. I would have expected her to be like, I'm taking a car and going home. I'll see you back at home.
Yeah.
Great.
Not like, where can we go? I'm so bored. Like,
That is her vibe. Take me home.
Yeah.
I want to watch Cocomelon on the iPad. Like, yeah.
Can we go to McDonald's on the way home?
You've already had your screen time.
I want French fries.
I think she hit her head and she just like doesn't remember anything.
Yeah, because she's like a completely different character.
She is.
Close head injury could do it. You know, yeah, like a TBI.
That could do it. Olga and Domenico are just like macking on each other the whole time.
Yeah. They're in love, baby.
Yeah, her parents are there. She talks to her mom about her and Massimo. And her mom is just like, marriage is compromise and you also got kidnapped and then married this guy like 2 months later. So like, you know, just saying, not the greatest foundation.
Yeah. And she's not wrong. Like, I understand why her mother would have concerns.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I do love how her mom reacts later when she disappears. I was just like, okay, Laura's mom is kind of legit.
I mean, except for when she like slaps Massimo in that scene and he just like stops and she's like yelling at him.
He lets it go.
And and then she like starts to walk away. She's like, I'm leaving, and starts to walk away.
Don't try to stop me.
Yeah, she gets like 15 steps away and then says, don't try and stop me. Like, and he isn't. He's just standing there like, I understand your reaction.
He said, I've got to Massimo.
The Massimo of this film is completely different from the unhinged monster of the last film.
Yeah.
Where the Massimo of this film is like, I know that she's angry because of her daughter, and I'm just going to stay quiet and find Laura because I know she's in trouble. And you're just like, what? When did you turn into the sane one? Weren't you the one who shot a guy's hands for touching her in the last movie?
What?
Yes. What's
he
happening?
Did what?
He shot a guy's hands.
I remember this.
I don't remember that.
So when you have lots of sex, Massimo goes sane. But when Laura has lots of sex, it don't go well.
Well, at the ball, she sees what she thinks is Massimo and Anna, who is Massimo's ex. But the Massimo that she sees is wearing a completely different outfit than the Massimo she just left and was just sitting next to.
Also, he doesn't have a huge fuck off hand tattoo.
Yes, he doesn't have any of the tattoo. Like, anyway, she follows them back to a hotel room where she sees them having sex. But she thinks it's Massimo, even though it is clearly not Massimo. Like, even me looking at it being like, no, they, like, the tattoos are gone. It's a completely different outfit. This is like, whatever.
But Laura suffered a traumatic brain injury in the tunnel. Yes. So she doesn't have a lot of short-term memory recallability.
But so she runs outside, and who should show up in another fancy car that they rented for the day? Nacho.
Nacho Gardner.
He goes, we got to get in this car because it's Nacho Car.
Nacho Car. But also, this is a man that she met and talked to
one time,
and she's just like, take me out of the country.
Yeah. But you, Paige, of all people, you know what Nacho looks like. You would get in this car.
Oh, I mean, yes, because like even if you die, you went out happy, probably. like you got that one whole side arm of tattoos that comes partially across the chest. Yeah. Like, and it just kind of
that whole sleeve thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it peeks out through the front of the shirt. Yes.
Yeah.
Like, what are we talking about? Of
I
course.
Get it. Nacho. Yeah. He's a hot dude. Massimo and Nacho are hot dudes. Like, I get it.
Yeah,
I guess. But, like, it's such a bad decision. All of this
is... It is a bad decision. Oh, don't get into a car with a person you've only met one time. Unless it's, like, an Uber.
Oh, what's my gardener doing here with this really nice car at this ball or whatever?
And this ball for a bunch of mafia people.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, no. When she's like, I can't believe you were also in the mafia. I was like, bitch, he worked at your house.
The worst part about all of this is that she leaves before they crown mafia king and queen for that year.
Oh,
she would have definitely made mafia court, and Anna would have been so mad.
And that's why Massimo wanted to talk to those people. He was like, I'm trying to like garner us votes for the king and queen of mafia town.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm here in my black on black tuxedo. Fantastic choice, by the way. I love the monochromatic Massimo.
Unlike my brother, who is not wearing this tuxedo, keep that in mind for later.
Yeah, my brother, the asshole who still wears white shirts, like stains.
And this is Massimo's fault because he casually slipped up earlier at some point, said he had a brother. And then she's like, what brother? And he's like, I will never speak of this again.
Yeah, like this is a communication issue for sure. Like you might want to be like, hey, there's a chance my brother might show up at some point. So if you see someone that looks like me fucking someone who isn't you, just check the hand tattoo at least.
Yeah, he could have at least said, I have a twin brother.
Yes.
Because he just says, I have a brother. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he looks a lot like me, but more like Gollum, but still sort of like me.
But also, this movie expects you, the viewer, to completely forget that, like, first of all, forget that there's a brother, except for, like, a couple scenes from now, they're like, it is me, the brother. Do you think she fell for it? Anyway, she takes off with Nacho. Meanwhile, the next day, because she throws her phone off a cliff. Dumb. Now you'll never get your Angry Birds score back again. What about all your pictures? She throws her phone and gets in the car with Nacho and leaves. And now back at the compound, her parents are like, where the fuck is our daughter, Massimo?
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't fucking know. She left me too.
Is she your daughter? You guys all have blonde hair, blue eyes. Laura does not look like you two.
Well, we know Laura has changed her hair color multiple times, so that's not a great indicator.
Laura has very olive, dark features.
That is true. They do not look like her parents. Yeah.
Laura looks very Italian. Her parents look very Polish.
The actress is Polish. So, like, they both look Polish just from two different Polish families.
They're like polarish opposites.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bipolarish.
I always expect Polish people to have white fur and be drinking Coca-Cola, but I think that's just me.
every Polish thing I've know about is from World War II, so it's like basically like the movie The Piano in my mind every time I think about Poland.
Yikes.
Which probably is not a great, healthy thing to do. I'm sure it's a great country.
I
am sorry what Germany and or Russia did to you both.
So her parents show up, and they're pissed. And this is where her mom's like, because Laura left them a message. It was like, I'm leaving Massimo. She's like, whatever you did, it had to be pretty fucked up to counteract the Stockholm syndrome. So like, what did you do?
Did you burn the library you gave her?
Yeah. Well, I also love that they're like, we're going to go back to Poland and then work on finding Laura. We don't see them again until the next movie, by the way, where they've just been in Poland the entire time.
Well, no, it takes a while to get to Poland, Paige.
They walked. we go to their house in Poland in the next movie, and they've just been like, oh, you're back. Like, they weren't looking for her at
really?
All. It's so crazy. It's like, they're like, oh, good thing he found you.
Shit, we should have reached out. Like, yeah, fuck, yeah. We forgot you existed.
We forgot to turn on the Where's Your Phone app.
We drove through a tunnel that specifically gives you a TBI.
yeah. Anyway, so we cut to her at Nacho's beach bungalow kind of thing where she's wearing his sister's clothes. And there's very like he's like, I'm your friend and whatever. And this is just exposition dumping of like, I have a sister who's pregnant who will come back in the next movie and will become Laura's best friend in addition to Olga.
Wait, really? Because I referred to Nacho's sister as new Olga in my notes the entire time.
Yeah. Okay, so because here's the thing. It's like this creates a bit of a rift, especially because Olga and Domenico are still together. And so Olga kind of sides with the Sicilians and with Massimo's team.
Sure, yeah.
And then Nacho's group has the sister. So it's like she's got friends in both sides. It's, yeah, anyway.
Wild.
Anywho. So we then get a bunch of scenes that are kind of useless of Nacho, like teaching her to surf and taking her and the sister to the beach. And like,
you're really understating the amount of scenes of uselessness.
Yeah.
This is.
Yeah. No, that's why I'm like, yada, yada, yada-ing through them.
Cause she has full on dream sex scenes with Nacho.
Not yet. That's later. That's later.
Okay.
We have not even gotten to that point yet. They are technically not romantically linked yet.
Yeah, but they do like 15 minutes of surfing.
Yes.
Yeah, so much.
Or walking on the beach, or it's just like,
right.
If Too Hot to Handle had a date that took them to the beach, this is like the package that you would see of that date.
Yeah.
It looks like that.
There's a lot of lens flares.
Yes.
Yeah. And then in between that, we cut back and forth to like Nacho's brother being like, do you think she believed it? And she's like, yeah, I think she believed it. And then we cut to Massimo meeting with Anna at a Starbucks, and Anna is just like, I can't believe she left you. And he's like, nobody knew about that but the police. Like, that's kind of how he treats it. And he's like, now I know that you were involved and she didn't just leave on her own and you'll get what you're deserved. And she's just like, oh no.
I mean, she does get it at the end though. Like,
she does.
Yeah.
He shoots the shot.
Yeah, but we cut back to Massimo's cracky twin, and they've sent a guy who was supposed to kidnap Laura that night, and he missed her, and now she's with Nacho. So, like, even though they are kind of all in league, they're trying to do their own plan outside of Nacho and his dad's plan. It's like a whole thing.
Right.
And so this guy screwed up their plan. So they just like shoot him in the head.
Yeah.
At which point you're just like, oh my God, this is finally a mafia movie for like 2 seconds.
Yeah. This is where the writer was like, shit, I have to, something that's not technically penetration has to happen in this movie.
Right.
So I'll have to do that here.
Yeah. And we cut to Olga, Domenico, and Massimo are like trying to find her, and they aren't telling Olga what's going on. I think probably for Olga's safety, because they have now figured out that it's a mafia thing.
Yeah.
But Domenico has to like, hey, Olga, please calm down. Like, I promise we'll try to keep her safe. It's fine. Meanwhile, Laura is having sexy dreams about Nacho, but she wakes up as somebody comes into the room. And Nacho was there to fight them off. So somebody broke in to try and kill her. There is a hit out on her. And so now they have to move to Nacho's other beach house.
There's no difference. It's like the same set.
It's a very different house.
No, it is a very different house, but it's just like further down the beach. Like,
yeah, it's just further down the beach.
But that dream sequence with the dream sequence where she's fucking with Nachos is 2 minutes long. Like, it is a 2 minute long dream sequence.
This is not even that one. This is the one where they just like kiss or whatever, and then there's a second dream sequence where they bone it down.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know.
Yeah.
But this is the one that takes place right before they go to the second beach house.
Yeah. To the second beach house. Anyway, so at this point, Massimo and Domenico are like driving and gathering information to help find her. We don't see enough of it, so we don't really know whether they just drive around.
Yeah.
With Massimo being super angry and wearing glasses so that we know it's him.
But we have no idea what's going on with, like, the hunt for her. And it just sort of resolves with, oh, I guess we're all going to meet up at a dinner. Like,
yeah, it's, yeah. Anyway, Nacho takes her out, like, on a jet ski to this, like, little cave area. And he's like, we can only come here by sea.
He's like, look, no one can be sad on a jet ski.
No one can be sad. And you can't get away because of the implication. Like, that kind of, like...
They actually do sort of allude to that. Like,
yeah, it's actually really odd.
It's strange. But he takes her back. She has, you know, breakfast, lunch, or whatever with his sister. And he's talking to a dude on the beach. We will find out that's his dad.
Yeah. But, like, this scene where we should be getting, like, character information from new Olga and Laura, like, it's just, like... shot.
It's just a montage, like a of
music
them laughing.
Video montage. Yeah.
Yes.
So like,
yes.
Instead of getting like character development or stuff like that, if this montage is a minute and 30 seconds of nothing.
Yeah, nothing. Mm. So we cut to him like swimming and sitting on the bottom of the sea, just like contemplating Nacho. I mean,
yeah.
And then we cut to Massimo looking very angry, but also this guy is. I want to say that we looked up how tall and stuff he was last time, but I don't remember. But they need to get him a bigger phone because the phone looks hilariously tiny in his hands. Like he couldn't even press the keyboard. And he's just like looking at it with glasses. And I was like, this is too funny. Like they got to get him a tablet or something because his hands are so giant. It's weird.
That's very funny.
Anyway, we cut to the next day where Laura is braless on the beach and he like... She and Nacho end up like playing in the water and he puts her on the seat on his surfboard. And this is when they end up making out for the first time.
Yes. This one is a lot like a dream sequence. So I was like, I don't know what's real and what's not real anymore. And not in like a fun way.
Who's to say? Yeah. But we cut back to Massimo's camp where they're like, call Tommaso. We know where she is. We got to get everything ready. Okay.
Call Tommaso. And then the regular Massimo. And then call Chef Three Boyardee. Massimo. Get them all together.
Get all the Massimos together. Get call four Massimo.
Get all the Massimos together.
I'm his other brother, minus Mo.
I thought you were going to say Lessimo, but like Lessimo would be the opposite of Massimo.
Oh.
Or would it just be Wassimo?
Wassimo.
Exactly.
It's a Wassimo. An equalizimo.
Anyway, this is where she has the other dream sequence where he's like licking her face and shit again.
Yeah, she loves licking face.
She does. Yeah.
It's wild. But so she wakes up and he's like, were you having a nightmare or an erotic dream? And she was like, I was having a sex dream about you. Shh. Don't tell anybody. And what she says was, it was a sex with you. And he's like,
it was a sex with you.
Yeah. And then I mean, it is clear that everyone in this movie learned their lines like ABBA learned the lyrics to Waterloo. Like it is very clear.
They act like how I podcast.
Yes. But she says it was a sex with you and he says, did you like it to be? What? and then she says, pretty good, but in my entire life I had better. Okay.
ChatGPT, write in sex scene.
So the only lesson I learned from this is if you're ever with a friend or colleague, coworker, strangers on a bus, basically anyone besides family, if they wake up and you're looking at them, be like, did you have a sex dream? And just ask them that and see what they say.
I hate that advice.
I love that advice. Do it and report back. It was a sex with you. Did you like it to be? What?
The to be is what, like, oh.
Did you like it to be?
Or not
so
to
she
be.
So she gets up and he's like, we have to go see my dad today. And she's like, what, why? And he's like, because he's a mob boss. Technically, you've been kidnapped this whole time. We're going to see your husband. My name is Marcelo Nacho Matos, and I am the rival family.
Yeah, it's terrible.
And she's like, I thought you were my real friend. I wasn't. And he's like, I wasn't faking my feelings for you. And she's like, you just proved that men are only good at lying. And he's like, why would I fake all this? And I was like, because she's pretty and it's easy to do that. It's really. She says, take me there. Let's end with this gangster games.
Welcome to the 2023 gangster games. Up next is an event called Perfect Score, where each of the gangs will have to go up against the Sicilian Museum to see who can pull off the perfect score.
Yeah. Next, we'll run through a grocery store and they have to cook pasta the fastest with only razor blades as utensils. Surprisingly, the Yakuza pulled out an early lead in our games, but yeah, I would watch gangster games. That'd be amazing.
Thank you.
So we get a huge montage of everyone driving to the place. But they have dressed up, not Laura, but everyone else is in suits, including Nacho, who has one of my favorite combos, which is a turtleneck with a blazer. Oof. It, like, not everyone can pull it off, but if you can pull it off.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's dressed like it's an H&M commercial in slow motion. Like, it is what it is. Like,
yeah,
it's they look great. I dig it. They look great.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But the lady who is in the completely, like, tan pantsuit thing, she comes out.
Anna
comes out with like guns and she's like about to shoot Laura or whatever.
Well, we haven't even gotten to that point.
Oh, shit.
They
okay,
take Laura away and then we go to a business meeting where Massimo was like, we had a non-aggression pact.
Oh,
and
that's
like
right.
business.
And his dad's like, you grew too fast, Massimo.
That's Nacho's dad, not Massimo's
dad.
That's
Nacho's dad, yeah.
That's Nacho's dad.
Nacho's dad. As they're talking about it, Nacho's like, wait a second. You said she was with this one security guy, but she left with a different one. She is in danger. And so he walks over to Massimo and is just like, we need to go now. And they like walk down a hallway in slow motion together like, we're going to get Laura. And he like hands him an extra gun and they're just like, da, 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 da. It's great.
It's like a gear up montage before like an awesome action scene that resolves itself in a very like boring way.
Yeah, because we cut to like a giant room. It looks like
it's a warehouse.
It's not a warehouse. It's
not.
It's like a ruin,
yes.
Like an ancient ruin.
Yeah, it looks like a set from the Da Vinci Code. Like I don't know how else to describe it.
Yeah, Laura's just like solving the codex in the middle.
I get it, guys. It's in Italy. It's fine.
You know where the history comes from.
Everything looks like a Da Vinci Code in Italy.
Why, you know, like I'm a warehouse.
My warehouse was the Parthenon.
That's Greece. Anyway.
Shit.
Mikey doesn't know because we have a life-size scale replica of the Parthenon here in town. So, like, we have a better-looking Parthenon than the Parthenon has.
Yeah, well, because it's old. But anyway.
Yeah, their Parthenon is like, what? 3,000 years old or whatever, or 2,000 years old?
Ours is 2008, you're 2000 at least.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
What was in Italy? It's like, welcome to my warehouse, the Colosseum.
Yeah, it was Nero's Circus.
The Vatican.
The Roman Baths. Anyway, so we see what looks like Massimo, but it's not Massimo. And this is where the actor who plays Massimo tries to act.
Yeah.
It is a spectacle to behold.
Yep.
It's so wild.
Don't forget, the whole movie's filmed in like any sort of filter that a movie about the Iraq War has been filmed in.
Yes. Very orange.
Yeah. But this scene a little bit reminds me of the scene where Gollum is talking to himself in one of the Lord of the Rings movies, because it cuts back and forth between the two of them and you're like, oh, this is jarring.
Yeah, and he's all twitchy and sweaty and whatever. It's wild.
You know, like a meth addict.
Yeah. And then Anna shows up and she's basically like, yeah, we were going to fucking kill you and then replace you and this whole thing. We're going to kill Massimo and replace him with Adriano. And everyone's like, Yeah, no, they're going to notice that, yeah. I think.
Well, but wouldn't Adriano stand to inherit after Massimo? Like, wouldn't he be the next in line to become the Don?
Yes. I think they don't think he's capable.
He's clearly not capable, Paige.
Yeah, he's like a puppet.
No, they want him to be in charge of his family so that, yeah, so they can control him.
He's like a puppet,
him.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
But he does say, nice to meet you, baby girl. And you're like, no, it's not right. Anyway, as this is all happening, I don't know where this Parthenon is that's
it's
so
Greece,
far away,
Paige,
from the rest.
You just made fun of Mikey Greece for not knowing where it was.
Because they walked down that hallway for a million years.
They do. Oh my God. No, you're right, Paige. Yeah.
Todd, all high roads lead to Rome.
Up the Seven Hills.
Oh, thank you, Mikey. Well done, well done.
Good night, everybody. Yeah,
yeah. Anyway, they walk into the, and the other thing too, they walk into this giant room and immediately there's like a Mexican standoff. Everyone's got guns pointed at everyone.
I can't say that. It's a Latinx standoff.
I think it's technically a Sicilian standoff.
Sicilian standoff. But they would have seen them walk into that room for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, because the hallway was so long. Yeah.
It's so huge.
It's the Parthenon. I get it.
Be like, Adriano, I can see they're on their way. Yeah,
get your guns.
They'll be here in about 15 minutes, but they're like, they're coming.
Their footsteps would echo so much.
So much. So much.
Baby girl, go.
So at this point, Nacho and Massimo are just like, leave Laura alone. And his cracky brother is just like, I wonder if your child would have looked more like you or like her. Pity we won't know because of the accident. And I'm like, how did he know? Like, I don't.
He has to have been the doctor that performed the operation. There's no way he would know.
Unfortunately, when he was taking the baby out, he touched the sides and it was.
Oh, God.
Wow. I don't remember that part of the game of Operation, but it's been a while since I played it.
Well, that part's illegal in some states, but he throws Laura and everyone fires.
Well, not everyone. Laura starts to run and then Anna shoots her.
Anna shoots her, but then, and so she gets shot as she's falling down.
Nacho shoots her, right?
I think Massimo shoots Anna.
I think so too.
And then I think Massimo also shoots Adriano.
I think Nacho kills the girl because they both.
Nacho might kill Anna. They both kill someone.
Yeah.
I think what you guys haven't accounted for is there's a gunman who's on a grassy knoll
by a book depository. But what we didn't account for is that Nacho and Massimo were riding in a bumpy car and they had their guns next to them, and it's possible that one of them went off accidentally. Anyway, so Adriano and Anna are dead. Laura is bleeding out on the floor, and Massimo goes to run to her, and Nacho aims at him.
Yes.
But then lowers the gun and walks away and lets him live. And that's the movie.
Record time today.
Yeah, well, not much happens in this movie.
Thinking about the movie, talking about the movie, what do I think about this movie? It's like a commercial and I hate it.
It is. It does feel like a Ford commercial or like, you know, like those slow motion music shots that you see in like tons of like dating shows and stuff like that. It just feels like that.
Yeah.
Also, the end of movie montage, like the end of this movie is all done through montage.
Yes.
It is 2 minutes and 5 seconds and then credits. Like it goes montage to credits. It's a wild take on what a movie should even be.
It is wild.
I loved it. I'll never watch it again though. Like this is not a movie I will revisit. I think that they are truly bonkers and everyone should watch it once just so that you guys can see and comprehend how bad movies can be.
Yeah.
But Paige, do you have any fun facts for us?
Not much.
Well, hit us with your fun facts.
Not your fun fact.
Not your fun facts.
Yeah.
I looked online and there's some facts about the book that I will not get into because we didn't talk about the book much last time.
This is also not a book review podcast, and I'm sure that Smut Up and Listen or someone's going to do this or has done this
work.
Yeah,
there's plenty of podcasts out there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's up to you now, Smut Up and Listen. The ball's in your court. Have fun with that one. They'll get to it eventually.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, the one fun fact that's listed on IMDb, because I looked everywhere else and nobody has a ton. The one that's on IMDb is just that Laura wears her wedding ring on her right hand in accordance with Polish tradition instead of her left. And those are your fun facts.
Oh, singular. Shit. That's all of them. That's awesome. Shit. Oh, that's awesome. I love
this
it.
Is why all Polish women are mad at me.
I didn't realize that they did that. That's super interesting. I wonder why that is. Anyway.
They're not the only ones. There are a number of other places around the world that do that.
No shit. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Well, Paige, thank you for that fun fact. I would love to share with you some box office information, but this was not released in theaters. So there is no box office information. I did look for the budget, and I could not find it. So I honestly have no idea, no information for you. I apologize.
I love this. Good for everyone.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess it cost about the same as a season of Too Hot to Handle. And I think they use the same crew, maybe.
It does seem like this is what that crew does in the off season, you know?
Yeah.
They also put out these movies super fast. So like...
Yeah, this and the third one came out the same year.
Oh my God.
And the
God.
Fourth one might come out this year. So that means that they will have made... four movies in as many years, but like the first one came out in 2020, and then two and three came out in 2022, and then four would potentially come out before the end of this year, possibly. I think that's a stretch.
That's
but.
So insane. Like, you just know the quality of those movies is going to be so terrible.
Also, the end of the third one is the end of the 365 days, and it does not have a cliffhanger. Like, it has a definitive ending. So I'm just like, what's even in the fourth one? Like, what is happening?
Oh, the three books or the 365 days. I just put it together.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually the second time she said that in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
I think the fourth movie is when they start the 720 part of the trilogy.
Of the 365. Yeah. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe Massimo kidnapped somebody new. I don't know. I think he's going to be in a bunch of other things.
By the way, baby girl, we're polyamorous now.
Oh. Are you lost, baby girls?
Oh, don't love that.
Or, okay, here's what I would love, and they would never do this, but I'd love it. It's him and Nacho.
Okay.
Massimo just turns to Laura and be like, he's not your man anymore.
He's mine.
But that's your box office. We don't really have anything for box office. I apologize.
How romantic did she find this film today on a scale of 1 to 10?
On a scale of 1 to 4 lion roars, I think as a film overall, it's a 1 lion roar film for me.
I would give it like a 1.5 lion roar as far as for the sex scenes. But like, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not a romantic film. It's a 1 for me on the romance scale.
Yeah. The early sex scene is really good. Good, but I feel like the sex scenes in the first one are better.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
So I'd give those more lion roars. But that first one in this one is pretty good.
Where would you put it on the romance scale, Paige?
Oh, zero. I mean, maybe one. I mean, she's still kidnapped, but then he also is like, I have to hold down this mafia job to pay for your fashions. It's a real weird take.
In this movie, she's twice kidnapped because she marries her kidnapper at the beginning of it and then gets kidnapped by a delicious appetizer.
I've got queso and chips right now. I might have my own little interlude with Nacho later.
Well, if I wasn't allowed out of my neighborhood right now, I would go to Taco Bell after this recording.
You could just share your location with the police.
I wish the gunman who's currently at large in my neighborhood was sharing his location with the police.
I love that you were like, are you there? And I was like, no. And then you're posted a picture. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm there. Yeah, that's right. Apparently, one of the pictures I posted, Paige, I posted a picture from one of my neighbors sent to our neighborhood chat.
Yeah.
And apparently, Mikey's car was like right
outside. Yeah, my car's to the left of that truck. Whole time.
Oh, really?
He was like, I parked right next to that.
There was one where it was a guy from behind, and I was like, is that Mikey? No, I don't think so, but maybe.
We all look the same. Okay.
Pigs.
Did you give it a spot on the romance scale?
Yeah, Mikey, how romantic did you find it?
1 out of 10, 2 lion roars, because that one sex scene was hot, but I think that should have been the end one because it was the hottest part of the movie, and then it was hard to pay attention to the rest of it.
Yeah, understandable.
Right, because you had the refractory period. I get it. That makes sense. But yeah, Mikey, yeah. So this week, Paige, you made us watch 365 Days: This Day.
This Day, Confessions of a Marriage Counselor, Tyler Perry Presents. Yes.
Absolutely. Mikey, what are you making us watch next week?
In conclusion of our Tom Cruise extravaganza summer, we shall be watching Night and Day with Cameron Diaz.
Oh, God, Diaz, that movie is terrible.
I'm so glad we're doing this. I watched this recently. Well, probably about 6 months ago. And I told you guys I watched it because it's nuts.
I know. It's nuts. I saw it in theaters. I saw that movie in theaters. And it was, I remember leaving the theater being like, what the fuck just happened?
It's an amazing movie.
It'll be fun. It's a summer movie too, I think.
It's a perfect pick, Mikey, to close out your theme. That's wonderful. Sure.
And I'm hoping by the time it gets back around to my turn that Love Again will be cheaper to stream because we've got it.
I'm ready to buy it. Celine Dion's love story movie.
With the guy from Outlander.
Okay, so your homework for next week is to watch Night and Day with Tom Cruise and Cameron Diaz. It's K-N-I-G-H-T, like the pun, right? It's available on Hulu, Apple TV, and that's it, it looks like. But free on Hulu. Anyway, so Mikey, do you have a review for us to read?
Yes, I do.
Well, whose review are you going to read this week?
Ray the Nerd.
What does Ray the Nerd have to say?
They say, title of the review, new listener.
Oh, well, welcome to the show.
Hello.
I just found the podcast recently, and I have been listening to the back catalog at work.
Nice.
I love the banter, the random tangents, and the insight into each movie. I highly recommend the podcast for people who have long commutes or long work shifts where they need something to listen to. Fair warning, you might end up laughing out loud and getting odd looks from your coworkers.
Aw.
5 stars.
Well,
I listened to a podcast this week.
Was it ours?
No.
Son of a bitch.
I found out that they just fucking scraped the audio on Dateline episodes and uploaded it all to the Apple Network. And I was like, put it in my veins.
That honestly does sound great.
Well, Ray the Nerd, thank you so much for that awesome 5-star review. And if you want to have Mikey read your 5-star review, give us a 5-star review. We're actually almost at 500 reviews, guys. We're 2 away.
Nice.
So get us to 500, baby. So, guys, if you like this power thruple that we have here on this podcast, make sure to check out our other podcast, The Horror Virgin. And that is the only other podcast that Mikey and I are on. But Paige gets around and she is on 2 other podcasts, Black Card Rehab and Cult Podcast. So guys, definitely check out those because they're amazing. If you want to follow us on social, we are at Romancing the Pod Show.
Yes.
On Instagram, and we are at something else on Twitter who I just have never taken the time to learn.
It's just Romancing Pod Show because they have a character limit and it's show, S-H-O, like Showtime.
So guys, check that out as well. And if you want to follow us all individually, Paige is at Rampage Wesley everywhere, including TikTok, except for Twitter, where she is at Paige Wesley. Mikey is at mrandolph24, and I am at Todd J. Awesome everywhere. And guys, we got a P.O. box. So if you want to send us some love letters or whatever you might send to a P.O. box, it's actually not a P.O. box. It's like a regular street address. It's pretty awesome. It's 6688 Nolensville Road, number 108-34, Brentwood, Tennessee, 37027. So send us some stuff.
Yeah.
That's going to be it for us, you guys. I'm Paige.
I'm Mikey.
And I'm Todd.
And you complete us.
To completion, baby girl.
There was no queso with nacho. Like,
yeah, when she left, he was like, queso ra, so ra.
Yeah. Queso, I'll just find another girl. Yeah.
He was nacho fundito.
He looked pretty fundito to me.
Bye! This is more or less just pornography nerds.
You're welcome.
La, 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 la.